Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to worship today at 2nd B. Welcome back those of you who were on spring break this week. I hope you had a great time with your families wherever you went, and we are so glad that you are back here today. I'd like to say a special thank you to those of you who have been praying for the Smith family. Most of you probably know that Donna Smith passed suddenly on Thursday afternoon, and her husband Jim was there with her, and she is now with Jesus. And I hope that you will continue to pray for Jim and Leanna and William and Warner, their son Warner, as well. This is a very difficult time for them. They will have a visitation on Monday night at 6 p.m. and the service is here Tuesday at 1 p.m. and I would like for you all to come if you can. It will be a time of celebration, tears, and joy. So please come if you can. If not, I know that Jim and Leanna and William and Warner would enjoy a prayer card from you. I'd also like to tell you a little update on Paul Nash. Our friend Rachel Nash and her boyfriend Zach usually run the booth for us, and they are not here today. They are probably with Paul. Paul suffered an incident, I think we will call it. He is in ICU at Covenant, and they are requesting no visitors at this time, but I know that they would request many prayer cards from you. Paul is also a fighter, and he's in great spirits, and I heard from Stephanie last night that she appreciates all of your prayer. This family is, this is why I'm here, because you guys are the best church, and you are my family, and I thank you for loving on all of these families, and it makes me very proud to stand here today to be part of you all. So continue to pray for all of them at this time. I also want to say, I walked down to the children's wing, and Eva did not disappoint. The first thing she said was, "Pastor Cheryl, both sides of the bin are full now." So thank you. We finally have eggs in both sides of the bin. Trunk or treat? No, not trunk or treats. That's in October. What's it called? Easter extravaganza is coming April the 1st, y'all. And it's going to be fun. Hopefully the winds will be like they were this weekend, beautiful and sunny. And we'll have bounce houses and eggs and kids and ice cream. So that's just in a couple of weeks. We invite you all to come bring your kids and hunt eggs with us at our Easter extravaganza. Now let's just all, will you take a deep breath with me? It's going to be a beautiful service. Let's prepare ourselves for the worship service we have today. The Lord be with you. As you're able, I invite you to stand with me for the call to worship this morning. Welcome, travelers, on the way to the cross.
We are journeying to follow Jesus.
On this Lenten journey, where do we find God's presence among us? On this Lenten journey, how does God's presence work among us? On this Lenten journey, what does God's presence do in our midst? Travelers along the way, come, let us worship God. We come to worship God as we learn to live inside out. Amen.
Thank you. Holy God, in Jesus Christ you reveal yourself to the world, even when we are blind to your grace. Open our eyes to see your transforming love in our midst, so that we may see your world anew through Jesus Christ, the Savior who shows compassion. Amen.
Join me for children's time at the front, please. Y'all come see me. We have a fun one today. I'm very excited about children's time. Come on down. It's very powerful, Steve. I'm very excited. I brought all the excitement with me. Come on down. Woo, there's a lot of y'all today. I'm so glad. Everybody's back from spring break. Welcome. I sure did, Graham. You're smart. Welcome. Thanks for coming. I'm glad y'all are here. Have you guys ever looked at something and said, look, do you guys see that over there? It looks like a truck. And someone says, no, it doesn't. It looks like a ladybug. Is ever something like, yes, sometimes we all see things differently. Okay, do you ever look at someone and say, oh my goodness, that person looks exactly like Cheryl Gallerno. No, she doesn't. She looks just like Juliana. No, she doesn't. She looks just like... Have you ever done that? Or do you think, yes. So sometimes we see things differently in people, and we see things differently in each other. Well, I brought something special for y'all today. Would you hand these out to some of the little girls, please, Miss Donna? Okay, will you grab those? Okay. All right, I'm going to hand you. Here you go. Sweet Robert, will you grab that? Okay, here you go. You grab this. Here you go. I promise you, everybody's going to get one. I just... didn't want to make anyone, let's see, sad today. Here you go, hold this. All right, so I brought something for us today to test out to see if we see things the same or we see things differently, okay? So, two more girly ones or any one kinds? Okay, here you go. Here's this and here is this. I hope I did it right. Okay, so you may go ahead and take out your little treasure out of the bag, okay? So, yes, these are fancy. These are very fancy. Okay, so I'm gonna need you to put these, I know it comes with all kinds of treasure, so I'm gonna need you to put them on, and I promise you we're all going to see things very differently today. Please put these on. These are very special glasses. Yes, let me see. Oh, of course, I would never take these back from you. Put them on so we can all look great together. Okay, put them on. Tell me what you see when you're wearing them.
I see you with four arms.
You do see me with four arms. Is it if I move like this? Do I look really cool? Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, look up at the lights. What do you see when you look at the light? It's very cool, isn't it? Yes, this is fantastic. Look at their faces. I need, Morgan's gonna get a picture. Okay, y'all look that way, look at Morgan. Oh, great, and your smile? Let's let him show your picture. Oh, you're beautiful. Okay, so. I'm so excited about how great you guys look right now. Okay, so everybody, when I count to three, I want you to freeze. One, two, three, freeze. Okay, now, I need you to listen. There was a reason I got these really cool glasses for you.
I love
it. I want you to know, Juliana, that there's someone who sees exactly what we need this person to see. Oh, good, good. Phew, we get the lesson. I want you to know today that no matter what you see in yourself and in each other, God sees you and as perfectly as you are. Sometimes he sees things that you don't even see in yourselves, right? So when you see these little glasses that you look so fantastic in, when you wear them this week, don't wear them when you're driving. Okay, don't wear them in your classroom because your teachers will call the church and I will get in trouble. Okay, don't wear them to school. But maybe you could wear them at the dinner table one night. It'd be really cool to look at your, you know, lasagna and see how many lasagnas on your plate. It'd be fantastic. So when you wear these, I want you to remember how silly you look, but I also want you to remember how perfect each and every one of you looks because God sees you just the way you are. Hey, let's pray, okay? God, I thank you for laughter. We needed it today. I thank you for joy. I thank you for allowing us to see things through children's eyes. And I thank you for what you see in me and every one of my friends here today. In your most holy name I pray. Amen. You might, guys may go to preschool praise or back to your parents. Let's go. Ready to go, Eva? You ready? Let's go. Come on. Let's go, Johnny.
It is beautiful to worship with you today. Our reading from the gospel comes from John 9, verses 1 through 17. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of God, of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, he is a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
As Cheryl said earlier, there's a number of families within our church who have a lot going on right now. And I'm reminded there is certainly no shortage of suffering in the world at all. And so as we get ready to do the pastoral prayer, I just wanted to read these two or three verses from Psalm 34 to kind of set the tone for the prayer. In Psalm 34, David wrote, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." Would you please pray with me? Lord, as we come to you today, that as this scripture tells us, and as so many scriptures tell us, when we cry out to you, you hear. We're not just merely talking to ourselves or talking to the ceiling or at best just wishful thinking, hoping something good will happen, but God, you hear. And Lord, we know as this comes to your ears that you move and that you take action. And so, Lord, I would just lift up all of those in our church family today. Those who are experiencing loss, those who are experiencing struggle, those that need to just feel your presence, Lord. Those that need to know that they are not alone, that it is true you will never leave them or forsake them. I pray that you would use each and every one of these folks here in this body to be ministers unto your word. And I pray, God, that you would use us to be the aroma of Christ to a world that is quickly coming apart. In all this, God, we give you thanks, and we know that you will be faithful. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, through the power of the Spirit, all the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Please remain standing if you are able. Our second gospel reading is from John 9, 24 through 41. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man as a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "How dare you lecture us?" And then they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and that those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to thank you for being here today. It says a lot when you guys know that Pastor Jake's going to be out of town and you show up on a Sunday. And so I'm really grateful that you guys are here this morning with all of us. It's just the most perfect place to be on a Sunday morning at Second Baptist Church. And I'm grateful to be here with all of you. And I wish Jake well in his travels today. I hope he doesn't have any delays. He took some much needed time away, and we wish him well and can't wait to see him when he gets back later this evening, I think. I'm not sure, but travel safely if you're watching. And I hope he's not. I hope he's resting. Will you take a minute with me? I'd like to start by praying with you. God, I just ask for your I ask for your grace and for your peace and for your comfort, Lord. It's been a hard weekend, and we mourn, and yet we praise you in the morning. We know that you are with us, and we know that you are carrying us right now, God. And I ask that you speak your words through me today so that something I say might be a blessing to this church. for it is because of your love that we are here. Amen. I'd like to start by saying thank you and in a little bit of apology to Callie because it was a very long scripture, 1 through 41, and we are not preaching from the Psalms. I took a break from that because I love this story, y'all, and I was so grateful that it was on the lectionary, and I thought, you know, Jake's doing the Psalms, Cheryl's not, so I'm doing something in my own way. And I really enjoyed the story, and I'm grateful to Mike, who's back there in place of Rachel and Zach. And Mike was putting together the worship guide, and we always, Jake is so good, y'all, in worship planning about trimming the scripture and knowing what to cut. And they kept saying, "What are you going to trim? Are you going to trim 41 verses?" And I kept thinking, "Yes, I'm gonna cut, Mike. I promise." And I ended up cutting 4 verses that I'm going to tell you about in the sermon anyway, so I shouldn't have cut them. But I just love the story. It's one of my favorites, and it's so good from beginning to end. And so I'm just grateful to talk about it with all of y'all. And if you have ideas afterwards, you just tell me, because I'd like to add to what I'm thinking. Now, when I was a teenager, maybe 12 or 13, I loved this gift that one of my friends gave me. It was a picture to put on my wall, and it was one of those 3D hidden image pictures. And Mike is going to put one up there. And so I know that y'all can't really see what's on the screen, but it was my favorite thing, y'all. There were these pictures, and you kind of have to get a little cross-eyed to stare into the picture, and out pops this really cool 3D image. And if you were close enough to this picture, you would see that there's a giraffe, and he's smiling, and he's kind of standing with one of his legs a little cocked, and he's got this ring around his neck, and there's a bucket behind him. And I wonder if maybe he was thinking about kicking the bucket? I don't know. But it's this really cool picture, and I thought it was funny. And so I really fell in love with these 3D, I was 12 and 13, and I fell in love with 3D hidden pictures. My friends were hanging up Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block, but I was hanging up 3D pictures on my wall because I was really cool like that. And so, thank you, Mike. I just wanted you to see that. You think you're looking at something, and then it becomes something totally different. And I loved it. And I was, and it just really struck me when I was reading through this story about believing is seeing. And I didn't believe what was in the picture until I would see it. And that's what helped me come up with the name of this sermon. As I said, this is one of my favorite scriptures, stories in the Bible. And one of the first details that struck me as I was studying for today's sermon is the fact that this man, okay, we all know he was blind. So he didn't seek out Jesus. He didn't ask for Jesus to come over to him. Jesus sought out this person. And it really struck me. Jesus knows exactly what to look for at the right time. A few months ago, I preached on Zacchaeus. Same thing. Jesus sought out Zacchaeus. And I thought, well, how cool. They all kind of tag together. And Jesus is looking for this man in particular. And I loved the interesting point in verse 8 where it says, "His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others said, 'No, he only looks like him.'" Now, okay, y'all think about it for just a minute. These people that are saying this, these are his community, they've been walking past him for years, probably. We don't know really how old he is, but he's been sitting in the same spot, and they walk past him day after day, and yet this really cool encounter happens, and they're not really sure that it was him. So I felt a little bit of guilt. I love that part in the end of the scripture. Not love, but it struck me. Your guilt remains. I found myself thinking back to times in my life where I wish I could change. Sometimes do you find yourself walking on the other side of the street to avoid something uncomfortable that you might encounter with someone? I grew up in a different town that had a lot more food insecure and homeless friends who would be more prevalent in the community. And my parents taught me to walk on the other side of the street, so they wouldn't ask me for it. And I'm now embarrassed by that. I work at St. Benedict's work. I volunteer, and I love it. We engage in communication with these people. I'm embarrassed that at times I've pulled up to a stoplight and hoped that it would turn green fast so I wouldn't have to make eye contact with a person who needed my attention to my left. And I thought about these people. And even though they've been walking past him for years and years, they don't really know what he looks like because they've been avoiding him. And Jesus knew exactly who to look for and right where to go. And I thought it was awesome that Jesus does so much more for this blind man in the story than purely giving him his sight. He creates this sense of purpose in this person. He sees beyond the need for sight, and he empowers this man with his own self-confidence and self-worth, and we see that as the story goes on. After he explains himself to the community in verse 11 of what happened to him, and then to the Pharisees in verse 15, and then a third time, again to the Pharisees, how Jesus has restored his sight, he speaks up in verse 27, and I really love what he says. He says, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become disciples too?" Okay, this man who's been sitting, I imagine, and begging for years now gets a little bit sassy with these people that are the Pharisees, and I like that part of the story. I imagine that he's standing there with his shoulders pulled back a little bit, and he's standing up taller, and he's saying, "Look, I've already told you three times. You're not listening. I don't need to tell you again. You're still not going to hear what I'm saying." I would just believe that this is a complete reversal of character. Maybe that's why they didn't know who he was, because he's totally a different person. Jesus did all kinds of things for this man besides just giving him his sight. Because he had the faith in Jesus Christ, everything was restored. So a few days ago, I think it was two Sundays ago, Mason went somewhere after lunch. He usually goes to lunch with us, but Chris and I went to lunch by ourselves, and I was telling him about the sermon, and I was nervous, kind of talking about what direction I was going to go, and I was talking about believing is seeing, and I did one of those things to him that Mason does to us all the time, and I thought it was funny. We'll be sitting at the dinner table, and we'll give out some fact, and we'll say something, and Mason will go, "Nuh-uh." And he'll get out his phone, and within 10 seconds, he has fact-checked us to see if it's right or not. And Chris was telling me, he's like, like the logos. And I said, what are you talking about? And he's like, like the FedEx logo, and Mike's going to show you. So I was 2 weeks years old, I guess people say, and maybe I'm the only one in this room, and I'm going to be embarrassed if that's true. But I never knew that there was an arrow in FedEx that points to the direction we want to go. Do you see it between the E and the X at the end? There is an arrow, and now that you see it, you can't unsee it. It's been there my whole life, and I never paid attention to it, and I had to fact check it. And Chris said, "Well, in Baskin-Robbins," and I said, "Yeah, what about it?" 31. The number 31 is in the Baskin-Robbins logo. Never have I ever seen that before till I fact checked it. And how many bags of Tostitos have y'all eaten with me? There are people enjoying chips and salsa right in the logo that I have never seen till that day. And the last one, I'd like to give us all some grace. Maybe you don't eat Toblerones as often. I don't eat them that often. They're fancy candy, so you eat them only at Christmas when people give them to you, right? Look in the mountain. In the Matterhorn Mountain, there is a bear in the snow. Never did I ever see that either. It was my first time, and I didn't believe him until I had to look at the logos and see them, and it fit right in, and I was so interested in what Chris was telling me. Thank you so much, Mike. Okay, let's be honest. Is there anyone else that learned that today, or am I the only one? Did anyone learn something? Oh, yes, look at all these hands raising up. Praise Jesus. We all are praising. I like it. Thank you. Good. Feel good. You're going out of here knowing something you didn't know today. It's awesome. I was enlightened, and I'm glad that you are too. Now, the second important lesson that I learned from reading the scripture is the act of blind obedience given by this man. We are all called to have faith in Christ. It's in the Bible. Jesus says that we are called to be faithful, right? But for many of us, I believe that it is in our human nature to ask questions and to ask for the details. I want all the details. I am this person, y'all. If you tell me that we are going to do something, well, I just can't do it blindly. I need you to tell me how we're gonna get there, how many cars is it gonna take, how long is it gonna take, what's gonna happen when we get there. It's one of those things that's in my instinct. And even with God, y'all, sometimes do you find yourself asking God, but then wondering, Well, how's it going to happen? And you have to be such a control freak that you can't just turn it over to God instead of asking blindly and trusting that God's going to do what God needs to do. We always want to know, what's the expected outcome? As Jesus is putting this clay that he has created with his saliva on the man's eyes. We hear nothing from this person. Jesus instructs him to find his way to the pool of Siloam while he's still blind, and the man goes without protesting. Y'all, this man has never seen. He woke blind. And Jesus says, I need you to go here. First of all, we don't know where here is. We don't know how far away it is. But I do believe that this man's center was around where he sat and begged day after day. I don't believe that he ventured very far in his daily life. And yet Jesus says, I need you to go and do this. And the man finds his way without asking any questions. He does. It is his faith, I believe, that heals him. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went, and then I could see. By giving this man this challenge, Jesus shows him so much more, y'all. He shows him that he's not helpless. It's because of those steps of obedience that he took that his eyes were opened. The disciples asked him in the beginning, why is this man blind? And Jesus' answer to me, it demonstrates to all of us that sometimes we might be asking God for something, but God sees something even further. And this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Through the faith of one, others can see the works of love, of the love of Christ. Jesus said this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. After he's healed, he has so much confidence. He's talking to all of these people. He's telling his story. He's sharing his faith. He's becoming a prophet, right? Right before our very eyes. While I was studying, I found this very interesting, and it went right along with this story. If you think back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God said, "Let there be light." And I was reading, and Mark Batterson, he compares this sixth miracle of Jesus to the original miracle when light comes into the world. And I love this part where he says, God's voice challenges the darkness, and the darkness is defeated by light. In our story today, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Y'all, we are called to be the light of the world. And when are we called to be the light of the world? Right now. We are called now to be God's hands and feet. I was reminded as I was studying that there are so many similarities in the waiting period of Lent that mirror the waiting period of Advent. And in another article that I had read, written by Henry Nouwen, it was specifically written for Advent. I just really was very intrigued by what he said. God shows us that what little we give away multiplies with this miracle. Soon he will give away his life, which will become salvation for the whole world. Likewise, you and I represent his hands and feet. We must not focus on what we don't have, but we must be generous with what little knowledge, advice, possessions, and love that we do have. The more we give them away, the more we discover how much more there is to give away. We don't end up empty, but rather enriched. We won't find ourselves destitute, but instead, we will realize our role as distributors. And that word right there, distributors, is the reason I loved this passage so much. I thought, wow, that is just the coolest thing. We are all walking around with our backpack. We are distributors, and in our backpack is not things that we are giving out to people, not tangible things like candy and Cokes and things. In our backpack is joy. In our backpack is light. In our backpack are praises. In our backpack are songs, our scriptures. And these are the things that we are to distribute, to not hold on to not hoard in ourselves, but to give out as we go around. The blind man was so very proud to share his story. He wasn't afraid to speak the truth immediately. And this is what we are called to do. And this is the part of the story where I cut the scripture, and I'm going to tell you what I cut, because I really loved. In the middle of the passage, There is this part where the Pharisees, they still don't believe him, and they decide, you know what, we're going to call his parents over. We're going to call them over and ask them, what happened? Can you explain to us what happened to this man? And I put myself in the parents' place, and I loved that they got a little nervous, and they said, no, he is of age. You just ask him, and he will tell you. They got a little chicken. They said, sorry, you're on your own. We've taken care of you for 18 years or however many years it was, and they stepped away. And he stood up, and he did it himself, and he said, this is what Christ did for me. I am proud to tell you my story. I am proud to share it. I just thought it was so interesting. Y'all, if we wait for the right time to tell our stories of faith, well, that moment is going to pass you by. It's going to pass me by. It's important that we actively seek to share the love of Christ with others. When we allow the light of Christ to shine within us, I believe that we bring so much glory to God. The man the scripture tells the Pharisees, and it's telling us as well, God listens to the godly person who does his will. I don't often think of myself as a godly person. That's a high praise. God listens to the godly person. We are godly people because we were created in God's image. We have to remember that, and we have to live to that standard. And if we do God's will, and we share what's in our backpack, we're going to bring so much glory to this person, and God's going to listen to those requests and those prayers, and probably see things that we didn't even see that we needed. There's one more story I'd like to finish with today. A few weeks ago, I was watching the nightly news with I forgot his name again. I remembered it in the early service. Lester Holt, with Lester Holt. Comes on at 5:30. I love Lester Holt. He says, take care of yourself and others. I love his phrase at the end. And on this story that night, he was sharing about a person. And I was doing laundry and doing some chores. And all of a sudden, I became enthralled in this story on the TV and kind of put down what I was doing. It was the story of a man named Michael Cleveland. Michael Cleveland, you're going to see his picture in just a minute. He was born blind. He's 44 years old. He's from Indiana. He was born blind, also born with a cleft palate. And at a very, very young age, he also suffered a major ear infection that caused him to be mostly deaf in one of his ears. So he was born into trauma. And his parents decided that they were not going to let this be debilitating for Michael, and they encouraged him. They lived in Indiana, so they loved bluegrass music. And so when Michael was 4 years old, they put a violin in his hands, and he began taking the Suzuki method. I took the Suzuki method when I was learning to play the flute, and I never got to his level. And he was learning to play the fiddle, and he obviously had some natural talent. So then he began to learn how to play the banjo, and he grew, and his talents grew and grew as well. And he became one of the most famous fiddle players in the United States. Over the past 20 years, he has been awarded Fiddle Player of the Year 10 times. And in 2022, he was honored with this award called the National Heritage Fellowship, which is the United States government's highest honor in the folk and traditional arts. They went on to tell us in the story on the news that he is part of a band, and they ended up doing a documentary called Flame Thrower. And I was so interested in this story that I had to go watch the entire documentary because I was so enthralled with the talent. First of all, the joy on his face struck me, how happy he was. And as I watched the documentary on Michael, I found that his life, besides being born with all of these disabilities, he suffered lots of trauma as he grew. He suffered alcoholism, anger issues. He was the senior member of the band that he ran, Flame Keepers, that's the name of the band. And they would ride a bus together, and many of the band members on the bus would share on the documentary that oftentimes it was very difficult to travel with Michael when he was suffering through some of these difficulties. And he overcame them, and eventually he was able to overcome the alcoholism, which helped him overcome the anger issues, and he learned that his faith in Christ was stronger than anything he had endured, and he just became so much more grateful. And this picture is a very recent picture of the joy that he experiences every time he picks up the fiddle and plays. And it brought me so much fascination, I think, as I was watching this story, that this person, who was born with so much less than I was born with, has so much to be grateful for, and he sees things very differently than I do, and probably better than I do in so many ways. In verse 38, we see that because of this man's belief, he is able to see. Y'all, if we allow ourselves to close our eyes and to listen to these words that we've read, I believe that God will allow us as well to see things much brighter. Thank you so much. Oh, would you guys stand?
Oh, my God, what is it?
I share the peace of Christ with all of you as you turn and pass the peace of Christ to each other this morning. I encourage you to be in prayer for our church family. There are many who need it, and to be thankful for each other. We are in a lucky place, y'all. And as you go this week, to lighten the load a little, may you see things clearer and see yourself in all the ways that Christ sees you. Go with God. Amen.
Thank you.